Welcome to the back pages from the Hartford Courant and the Journal Enquirer. I'm Rick Gray. I'll start with an article by Christina Caron of the New York Times, Never Good Enough. Perfectionism is a case of your inner critic running wild. Here's how to keep it in check. Yuxin Sun, a psychologist in Seattle, sees a lot of clients at her group practice who insist they aren't perfectionists. Oh, I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect, they tell her. But perfectionism isn't about being the best at any given pursuit, Sun said. It's the feeling of never arriving to that place, never feeling good enough, never feeling adequate. And that can make for a harsh internal voice that belittles and chastises us. Perfectionism is so pervasive that there's a test to measure it, the multidimensional perfectionism scale. When researchers looked at how college students have responded to the scale's questions over time, they found that rates of perfectionism surged in recent decades, skyrocketing between 2006 and 2022. Thomas Curran, an associate professor of psychology at the London School of Economics and Political Science, who led the analysis, said the type of perfectionism with the steepest rise, socially prescribed perfectionism, was rooted in the belief that others expect you to be perfect. Today's young person is more likely to score much higher on this measure than someone who took the test decades ago. There could be a number of causes for the uptick. Increasing parental expectations, school pressures, the ubiquity of social media influencers, and advertising. The feeling of not being good enough, or that my current life circumstances are inadequate or not sufficient, has created an unrelenting treadmill, Curran said, where there is no joy in success and lots of self-criticism. Regardless of whether you consider yourself a perfectionist, experts say there are a number of small things you can try to keep your inner critic in check. Find some distance. Ethan Cross, a professor of psychology at the University of Michigan and the author of Chatter, The Voice in Our Head, Why It Matters, and How to Harness It, said a process called distancing is the first line of defense against negative thoughts. Distancing is a way of zooming out on our inner chatter to engage with it differently. If you're agonizing over something in the middle of the night, for example, that's a cue to jump into the mental time travel machine, he said. Begin by imagining how are you going to feel about this tomorrow morning. Anxieties often seem less severe in the light of day. The time period could also be further into the future. Will the fact that you stumbled a few times during your big presentation today truly matter 3 months from now? Another way to practice distancing is to avoid first-person language when thinking about something that upsets you. Instead of saying, "I cannot believe I made that mistake. It was so stupid of me," someone might gain a new perspective by saying, "Christina, you made a mistake. You're feeling bad about it right now, but you aren't going to feel that way forever. Your mistake is something that has happened to a lot of other people." In Cross's research, he found that when people used the word "you" or their own name instead of saying "I," and started observing their feelings as though they were an impartial bystander, it was like flipping a switch. It resulted in an internal dialogue that was more constructive than that of people who spoke to themselves in the first person. A number of studies have reported similar benefits to assuming a more detached point of view. Next, accept good enough. Curran, who writes about his own struggles in his book, The Perfection Trap, explained that he has worked to embrace good enough over perfectionism and its accompanying negative thoughts. With perfectionism, it can feel as though nothing is ever enough. Accepting what's good enough requires letting go, Curran said. Working nights, weekends, and holidays had become part of his identity. But after the birth of his son, he scaled back his hours, which became liberating. His past decisions were driven by an anxious need to be better, he said. Now, when thinking about how to spend his time, he tries to focus on the things that bring him joy and purpose. It's a philosophy shared by physician and trauma expert Dr. Gabor Mate, who recently said the feeling of being legitimate or worthy needs to come from within, lest people sacrifice their playfulness, their joyfulness, for external. In general, perfectionism is a survival strategy, like an armor that you wear to feel less vulnerable, Sun said. So don't beat yourself up for having perfectionist tendencies. But if that armor is weighing you down, it may be time to thank your perfectionism for its service and move on. Much like home organizer Marie Kondo does when discarding possessions, Sun said. Maybe you can take off the arms first, she said, then work on taking off the metaphorical legs. You might want to seek out a mental health professional to help with the process. A lot of times I work with people on building that internal safety, which is the ability to give yourself the validation you need to feel at peace, Sun said, so that one day they can say to themselves, I accept the way I am today versus the way that I'm supposed to be. The next article is from the Health Day News. Chemicals frequently stored in garage may raise odds for ALS. Volatile and toxic chemicals commonly stored in garages can increase the risk of amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, a recent study shows. Gasoline or kerosene, gas-powered equipment, and lawn care chemicals represent the top three risk factors for ALS found in garages, researchers said. Exposures to each of these increased ALS risk around 15%, results show. Other chemicals found in garages that significantly increase ALS risk include pesticides, paint, and woodworking supplies, researchers report. These risks were more prominent in homes with attached garages. The flow of air from attached garages into the living space is likely behind this, researchers said. Especially in colder climates, air in the garage tends to rush into the house when the entry door is opened, and air flows occur more or less continuously throughout small cracks and openings in walls and floors, said senior researcher Stuart Betterman, a professor of environmental health science at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Thus, it makes sense that keeping volatile chemicals in an attached garage shows the stronger effect, Batterman added in a university news release. The most modern building codes tackle this problem by specifying measures to reduce or eliminate these air flows, he said. For the study, researchers assessed chemical exposures in the homes of more than 600 people with and without ALS. The degenerative disease affects the ability of the brain to control muscles in the body. They found that, overall, the storage of chemicals is significantly associated with ALS risk. The new study was recently published in the journal Amyotrophic Lateral Sclerosis and Frontotemporal Degeneration. This finding jibes with earlier studies that found higher concentrations of pesticides in the blood of people with ALS, and also linked pesticides to worse survival odds for ALS, researchers said. With each study, we better understand the types of exposures that increase the risk of developing ALS, said senior researcher Dr. Eva Feldman, director of the ALS Center of Excellence at the University of Michigan. The next article is by Joe Graydon and Teresa Graydon, PhDs, from King Features Syndicate. It's the People's Pharmacy, Prescriptions and Home Remedies. Troublesome flatulence may be indicative of celiac disease. The first question, all my adult life, I had problems with foul-smelling gas. This was embarrassing. I also hated that it bothered my wife. Then I was diagnosed with celiac disease and had to change my diet. Completely eliminating gluten has also gotten rid of the smells. Others may want to consider this possibility if they have troublesome flatulence. And the answer, celiac disease is a condition in which gluten triggers the immune system to attack the lining of the digestive tract. The consequence is poor absorption of nutrients from your diet, and the only effective treatment is to follow a gluten-free diet. That means avoiding any foods made of wheat, barley, or rye because all of them contain gluten. Symptoms of celiac disease include digestive problems such as diarrhea, cramps, gas, or floating feces. Other problems that occur with celiac disease are anemia, fatigue, osteoporosis, joint pain, headaches, and nerve pain. Blood tests can screen for celiac disease, so others with symptoms like yours should see their doctors. The next question, what's your assessment of the value of lithium to prevent dementia? And the answer, there have long been hints that lithium might be valuable to reduce the risk of dementia. However, most research has focused on anti-amyloid drugs such as aducanumab or lecanemab. Please help me with these. A systematic review turned up a number of animal studies, but only a few clinical trials of lithium for preventing dementia. Doses studied vary widely. When lithium is prescribed for bipolar disorder, doses range from 600 to 1800 milligrams daily. Adverse effects may include diarrhea, muscle weakness, drowsiness, changes in thyroid function, and kidney damage. Much lower doses, 10 to 20 milligrams of lithium, have been used experimentally against depression and dementia. The risks may be reduced at such doses. More research is needed on this possible treatment. And the next question. My 90-year-old mother lost her marbles quite rapidly. Thank goodness, a neurologist tested her vitamin B12 level. He said her level was within normal range, but that some older people need more B12 than normal. On hearing that, I gave her over-the-counter sublingual vitamin B12 pills every morning before breakfast. Nearly a week later, she said, "I was really crazy, wasn't I?" She went on to enjoy the remaining months of her life and died peacefully from unrelated causes. Vitamin B12 made a difference between a dignified end of life and pure health for everyone. This is a pet cause of mine. I used to work in a nursing home, and I wonder how many people end up in such a place due to a simple undiagnosed vitamin deficiency, especially if a person seems to go senile very quickly. Check other vitamin B12. And the answer, older people are vulnerable to vitamin B12 deficiency. That's because their stomachs may not make enough acid, or they may be taking powerful acid-depressing drugs. The body needs acid to absorb vitamin B12. Symptoms of this B12 vitamin deficiency may include difficulties with balance, numbness, and tingling of the feet or hands, loss of appetite, memory problems, burning tongue, weakness, constipation, or confusion. Restoring vitamin B12 with oral supplements, a transdermal patch, or injections usually corrects the problem. And the next article is from the Mayo Clinic. Once again, a question and answer. It's entitled, "Is Energy Drink Habit Safe?" The question, my husband has swapped out his regular morning coffee for an energy drink. Are these healthy options for getting his daily dose of caffeine? Do energy drinks have more caffeine than regular coffee? And how much caffeine is too much? And the answer, people love caffeine, whether it's coffee, tea, soda, or energy drinks. It's the most common stimulant in the world, and about 90% of all adults consume caffeine in some form every day. Many different caffeine options and flavors are readily available at coffee shops, restaurants, grocery stores, and convenience stores. Caffeine is big business as well. Energy drinks are the second most popular dietary supplement among U.S. teens and young adults, behind multivitamins. Caffeine's health effects vary from person to person and depend on the dose. It's been shown to improve vigilance, reaction time, alertness, and ability to concentrate. It can help alleviate the adverse effects of sleep deprivation. Caffeine intake also is associated with a reduced risk of Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, alcoholic cirrhosis, and gout. However, caffeine also is linked with nervousness, insomnia, irritability, and panic attacks. Those with anxiety disorders may be more susceptible to these effects. Caffeine can temporarily raise blood pressure, and a high intake has been linked with a rise in cholesterol levels. Check the caffeine amount in your husband's energy drink. Up to 400 milligrams of caffeine per day is considered safe for most adults. Most contain 100 to 300 milligrams of caffeine per serving, while home-brewed coffee contains 80 to 100 milligrams of caffeine per serving. These amounts can vary. If his preferred energy drink has 200 or more milligrams of caffeine per serving, consuming more than one per day would place his intake over the recommended level. Excessive caffeine intake, more than 400 milligrams per day, can cause palpitations, tremors, agitation, and gastrointestinal upset. Heavy caffeine use also is associated with an increased risk of other addictive behaviors like smoking and alcohol abuse. People who routinely consume caffeine may develop physical and psychological dependence, and they may experience withdrawal symptoms if intake is abruptly stopped. Another ingredient to review is sugar. Many energy drinks contain significant amounts of added sugar or other sweeteners. High intake of added sugar can contribute to a variety of health problems, so the Dietary Guidelines for Americans recommends limiting the intake of added sugars to no more than 10% of total daily calories. If your husband follows a 2,000-calorie diet, no more than 200 calories per day should come from added sugars. This is about 12 teaspoons a day. One 16-ounce can of some energy drinks can contain as much as 210 calories and 47 grams of added sugar, which is equal to roughly 12 teaspoons. This is an entire day's worth of added sugar. Energy drinks aren't all bad, though, especially when consumed in moderation. Some contain vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. Others contain herbal supplements, such as ginseng and guarana, which may be used to increase energy and mental alertness. Use caution with these substances, as research on safety and effectiveness is limited. Also, some herbal supplements can interact with medications, so seek input from your husband's healthcare team if he takes prescription medications. People who are pregnant or breastfeeding should limit a caffeine intake to 200 milligrams or less per day. The Food and Drug Administration has not set a safe level for children, but the American Academy of Pediatrics discourages the consumption of caffeine by children and adolescents. Well, so much for medical advice. Let's get some general advice from Amy Dickinson in her column, Ask Amy. Defending mother ends in bad guy feelings. The first letter, Dear Amy, my mother was a difficult person. She was often not nice to my sister-in-law. I admired my sister-in-law for taking the high road and for being respectful toward my mother, and I told her so many times. I bumped heads big time with my mother, too, but had a good last 6 years when she moved near me and dementia mellowed her out. She died 5 years ago, and my sister-in-law reminds me often of how awful she was. The last time my sister-in-law brought this up, I stopped her and said that although her experiences are valid, this is my mother and she is dead now, and I find it offensive to keep hearing about it. I validated her feelings and told her again how much I admired her. She apologized, but afterward, apparently decided that I was wrong. She is now angry with me and said she prefers to work through this in therapy. After I tried to reach out, she says she doesn't want to talk about it. I care for her and I like her, my brother and their children, but I'm upset about this. I feel like making me the bad guy here is gaslighting. What do you think? Signed, Gaslit. And the response, dear Gaslit, I think this only qualifies as gaslighting if you actually believe that you're the bad guy. You don't believe this because you aren't. The only thing I think you might have done differently would be if you had altered your own wording when responding. Instead of saying that your sister-in-law's remarks about your mother were offensive, you might have said how this made you feel. Now that Mom is gone, I feel so sad continuing to hear about how awful she was to you. I believe speaking the truth about abuse or toxic behavior of family members, even after they have died, is valid and can be helpful, even if it brings up painful feelings. Doing so can help people resolve the sometimes impossible duality of being the child of an abusive person. Your mother treated people badly, and yet she was still your mother. For your sister-in-law, talking this through in therapy instead of with you is exactly what she should be doing. A skilled therapist will help her to figure out who the bad guy is and should lead her not to punish you for your mother's sins. You have been extremely kind and gracious to her in the past, and I hope you will continue. You also have every right to hold your own good memories of your mother. It sounds like you were lucky to have them. The next letter, dear Amy, my boyfriend and I are in our late teens, and we recently learned that I am pregnant. We have a lot to deal with, but we are doing our best to handle this situation that neither of us really feel ready for. We both have great families, and they are very supportive. We saw my boyfriend's sister last weekend, and she told us that she wants to go with us to our doctor appointment so that when we learn the gender of our child, she can host a gender reveal party. She is married and has a child. I know some parents do this, but I don't think I want to do it. Should she come with us to the appointment? Should we let her do this? Signed, Nervous. And the response, dear Nervous, no and no. You and the baby's father should go to these appointments. If you would like more support at an appointment, you could invite her or another family member. But this invitation should come from you, not the other way around. Establishing respectful boundaries can be a tough job, but this is the beginning of your life as parents, and you have the right and responsibility to develop good boundaries and good judgment about what you believe is best for you and your child. And the last letter, dear Amy, wondering, asked if her husband should incentivize his adult daughters to lose weight. I can tell you from experience that he should stay out of it. Why? It's none of his business. My father was obsessed with my weight during my entire life and brought it up whenever he saw me. After he died, I lost 40 pounds. Signed, Survivor. And the response, dear Survivor, obesity is a condition that is extremely resistant to badgering. Okay, now let's look to the future by reading the horoscopes from tarot.com, starting with Aries, March 21st to April 19th. Changes can make your ongoing journey feel unfamiliar in both exciting and frightening ways. Uncertainty is one of your main enemies today, so it's crucial that you keep up a brave attitude and make an effort to understand your emotions. Do this before attempting to lead others. Taurus, April 20th to May 20th. You might be rethinking recent changes. Regardless of how resolute you were in the beginning, In the light of the present, you're realizing that some tweaks need to be enacted. This can be confusing, but look at it as a window to clarity and that you couldn't have seen this until this moment. Gemini, May 21st to June 20th. You may be unsure of how you feel about someone. Your feelings toward this peer might not be consistent, or perhaps it's their actions that aren't consistent. Of course, you can't control anyone else's behavior, but it is up to you to decide if they have a place in your life or not. Cancer, June 21st to July 22nd. Abrupt changes in your community could throw you off course right now. You might not have expected someone to have taken such a bold risk, but now that everything's in motion, you are forced to adapt to the shifting tide of their choices. Think carefully before taking your next step. Leo, July 23rd to August 22nd. Your feelings inside may be wildly different from your true emotions. Sometimes you have to be congratulatory when you don't feel like it or pretend that you're confident even when you're down in the dumps. Moments like that aren't easy. Do your best, but don't beat yourself up. Virgo, August 23rd to September 22nd. You might struggle admitting when you need a boost, as you probably prefer to be the person who's providing the help. Nevertheless, a little rain falls into everyone's life. Sometimes you simply have to share someone else's umbrella. True friends will uplift you. Libra, September 23rd to October 22nd. You're learning to express yourself with bold confidence. It might have been easier to let others speak over you, but nowadays you're realizing just how important it is to have a seat at the table. You have a valuable approach to life and more to offer than just a body filling a seat. Scorpio, October 23rd to November 21st. Regardless of how much you like yourself and the person you're becoming, a friend or loved one could be too attached to the old you. That is not your problem. Whoever you used to be is someone you should be honored and treasured, but isn't a persona you have to be forever. Let yourself grow. Sagittarius, November 22nd to December 21st. You may need to create more structure in your life. No matter how smart you are, if you aren't consistent, it'll be impossible to meet your goals. While you don't have to get completely organized overnight, make an effort to line things up more reliably for the sake of your goals. Capricorn, December 22nd to January 19th. Risks could have an effect on the people around you. You might feel that it's okay if you don't get enough sleep at night or spend time with reckless people who trace adrenaline highs, but be careful. At this time, small gambles can add up to much bigger hazards. Recenter yourself. Aquarius, January 20th to February 18th. Your head and your heart may have opposing opinions. Keep in mind the idea of a false dichotomy. If it seems like you have to pick between two bad options, there is almost always a third path or compromise you could choose instead. Talk to others and see what they think. And finally, Pisces, February 19th to March 20th. Remember, others can't see everything the way you do. While conflicting viewpoints are bound to arise, the discussion about them can be civil. You're strong enough to hold your opinion without condemning others. Try to open your heart, but if they're unwilling to do the same for you, reevaluate. That's the way it went on the back pages. I'm Rick Gray. So long until next time.